Good morning, and welcome to Trinity on this wonderful and chilly morning. It is great to see each and every one of you. I'm Catherine Flux Price. I'm one of the pastors here of Trinity, and I want to welcome you to worship today. In your bulletin, you'll find a Connect card, and whether you are here for the first time or you are here all the time, we appreciate any information that you will provide. You wouldn't imagine all of the things that we do with those Connect cards. So please fill that out for us. Even just with your name and email is very helpful. Later in the service, you can place it in the offering plate or hand it to one of the ushers as they come by. And we sure do appreciate it. There are a couple of things that I want to highlight for you. One, this evening at 6 o'clock, there is a worship service at Faith Mission, Trinity's Mission on the northeast side of Gainesville. We have those services quarterly, and a lot of folks from Trinity and from Bartley Temple United Methodist are there worshiping together tonight. Bartley Temple is leading, and I invite you to come. You will be blessed by the preaching and by the music that is offered as well by their choir. Also, for the first time in 10 years, Trinity is doing a church directory. I know it will be helpful to you all to be able to see pictures and updated pictures of people, and it will certainly be helpful to Steve and I, still feeling new to all of you in some ways. So please make every effort to have your picture taken. You can sign up in the Narthex this morning or online, or just call the church office and we'll help you do that. The church directory will only be as effective as the number of people who take photos with their household. So please do that for us. This weekend we celebrate Martin Luther King weekend and begin a worship series called Strength to Love. We are really looking forward to this series and looking at what it means as we grow in relationships with one another and in our love and commitment to following Christ. This morning in particular, I want to let you know that during the service, during the sermon, several topics will be mentioned that you may or may not be comfortable explaining to elementary age children and under. And so I just want to let you know that now, and you are welcome to take them to child care or K through 5th grade worship, which happens over in the education building. Now that I've got you all curious, I will invite you to stand up and say hello to someone near you. Please introduce yourself if you don't know them. Say hello if you do.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as you're able, and let's join together in beginning our worship by singing our opening hymn.
Strong and eager for we have come this morning to worship you, and you are one in spirit and truth. And so pour out your Holy Spirit on us that we may experience your grace and your love in a way that unites us to you and to others, pointing to your unfailing love in all things and living at peace with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Will you join me as we continue to worship together with our affirmation of faith? We'll be using the Apostles' Creed, and specifically today as we say this together, I'd like you to focus on the Church Universal and the Communion of Saints. We are celebrating Martin Luther King's work among us, and as we do, we are called to be a church where all are welcome. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Joy to celebrate the sacrament of baptism this morning with the Lozano family. So I'd like to invite Chance and Melody and Big Brothers Asher and Noah forward and all their friends and families, friends and relatives, for the baptism of Ellis.
Privileged to be able to baptize Ellis Carter, and we welcome you all here. What a joy it is to have so many family members offering their love and support on this very special day.
I have some questions for you, and you're going to answer I do, and then the last one is I will. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sins? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the Church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture Alice Carter in Christ's holy Church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
So let me invite you all to pray with me. Almighty God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the deep waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Spirit to bless this gift of water and him who receives it, to wash away his sin and cleanse him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share his final victory. Amen. We present Ellis Carter Lozano for baptism. This is water, Ellis. Kind of like when you take a bath. Ooh, it's a little cold. A little colder than the bath water. This is very special as we mark you as belonging to God and part of God's family. Ellis Carter, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son. And of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, I'm going to come over here and I'm going to invite all of you to gather around and lay a hand on Ellis or a hand on somebody who has a hand on Ellis. This is just a sign of your prayer and support and love for him as he grows up, that he will one day accept Christ.
Oh, Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on Ellis Carter, that having been born of water and the Spirit, he may grow to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Amen.
One of the other kids said, I'm glad to be up here.
Will you join me in welcoming Ellis Carter to our family of faith with the words that you see before you on the screen? We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Praise God. Yay, welcome.
Jesus loves you.
We now have an opportunity to go to God with united hearts in prayer. And as we do, there's a number of things I wanted to share with you this morning. The first being those that we're visiting in rehab and homebound, just to keep them in your prayers. And if there's anyone who needs visitation at all, please don't hesitate to call the front office and let us know. We'll be sure to get them connected and cared for. In addition to that, I wanted to let you know that Amy Flanagan was a member of our church, grew up here in this church, in fact, and unexpectedly died last week in California. Her service will be held here on Saturday at 2:30, and we invite you all to come and to keep the family and her friends in your prayers. In addition to that, I have some good news to share with you. If you read the pastor's message or had seen on Aaron's Facebook post, He has been, he was served 8.5 years in the Navy earlier in life, was raised in the military, and has been sensing a call to use his gifts in that way, and he was recently selected to be a Navy chaplain in the reserve, and we are thrilled about that. I grew up in the military, as a military family as well, so it's like coming home for me and for him. And over the next few weeks, 4 to 6 weeks or so, there will be a commissioning service for him, and that will actually be a worship service held here at Trinity, and we invite you all to come. As soon as we know the details of it, we will let you know. But if you could keep our family in your prayers as well, we would certainly covet your prayers. The youth, along with Steve and Aaron, are on a mystery trip this weekend, and we want to be praying for them as well. They didn't know it was a mystery trip, but they ended up going to Atlanta and had the joy of being able to go to the Civil and Human Rights Museum and then walk down the same road that Martin Luther King Jr. walked down to his home church, where they were able to spend some time there. And then they are worshiping this morning with Benton Hill United Methodist Church, an African American church there in the Atlanta area. And it is our prayer not only that they will have safe travels, but that this will plant seeds in their life that will enable them to be voices, prophetic voices, for justice and equality throughout our country and throughout the world. I think that's it. So we will have a moment for you to pray silently so that you can share whatever is on your heart with the Lord. And then I will lead us in a prayer that is focused for the celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. and his work. Let us pray. You alone created us and sustained us by your love and by your grace. From the moment we took our first breath, you have insisted that the addition of humanity is what makes creation very good. For all the good that we have the capacity to bestow, we confess that we have misused our gifts and failed to do all the good that we can, let alone reflect your divine character in the world. Forgive us. We are grateful for those who have come before us or are living among us, who have risen above the crowds to become symbols of hope and passionate voices, prophetic voices, for the oppressed and the outcast. From Moses to Christ, to Gandhi, to Martin Luther King Jr. and beyond. Thank you for their example that reminds us of your loving care for all. As we prepare to celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, we praise you for those who shaped his life with a belief that all souls have sacred worth and importance in your eyes, and a conviction that spirit-led love and gentleness can turn violence and chaos into order and equality. We thank you for the dreams that filled his heart and continue to inspire us today, for his commitment to sacrifice that led him forward without regard for his own safety, and for his ultimate trust in you, that you would never abandon those who stand up for truth and righteousness in the world. We mourn for the loss of his life, along with all those who have died in the course of seeking justice. May we honor their legacy by continuing the work you began in them until it is complete, until the day finally comes when the lion and the lamb lie down together, when children of all races and backgrounds play and grow together in harmony and trust, and when every life is valued and all of creation is given the opportunity to thrive. Teach us to love all women and men as our sisters and brothers, and to care as much about their welfare as we care about our own. Grant that heroes may continue to rise among us, pointing us towards moral clarity with their unremitting courage and passion for righteousness, that your name and your ways may be honored in all the world. For those lives who are in harm's way pursuing such goals, we pray your blessings of protection over them and their families. Grant them wisdom, courage, courage and peace. For all those whose lives have been impacted and their potential derailed due to injustice or prejudice of any kind, we pray for their healing and encouragement to keep pressing onward to become all that you created them to be. For all who are ill or in need of healing of any kind, we pray for their strength to be renewed so they may soar like eagles and run and not grow weary along the path that you have set before them. Let the Spirit of Christ be in us all. Teach us truth and not error, love and not hate. Grant that we may be ready to, like your servant Martin Luther King Jr., pay any price in service for your kingdom. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Opportunity in worship to give back to God out of the resources that He blesses our life with. And today, in addition to the offerings that you're making to sustain the ministries of this church and continue to be instruments of peace and voices of justice in the world, we're inviting you to consider giving to our mission box outreach for this week, which is the Alachua County Coalition Against Human Trafficking, and they are focused on providing safe space and education and restoration for women who have been trapped in human trafficking so that their lives may be made new and they find new life and new hope for a future that is different than their present. So we invite you to pray for them and consider giving generously at any of the 5 mission boxes that you see as you exit today. Let us pray as we prepare to give our offering to God. Lord, we thank you that you are so extravagantly generous with us in every possible way. We seek to hold on loosely to the gifts that you do give us, and we give them back to you now as an offering, as a sacrifice of praise. And may you bless these financial offerings that they may be used to serve your kingdom and to honor your name and to help others encounter your love and your grace and be redeemed. And may you continue to strengthen us to do this work through the power of your Holy Spirit.
our hearts and seal them, oh God. Seal them for thy courts above. Thank you, choir, for offering your gifts this morning and your hearts as well as you lead us in worship. Several months ago, we decided that on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend, we would begin a series called Strength to Love. It's based on the title of a book of writings by Martin Luther King Jr., sermons including Love in Action, Love Your Enemies, Paul's Letter to the American Church, and Pilgrimage to Nonviolence. While these sermons are not what our sermon series is about, they are certainly informing what we say over the next few weeks. And also, Reverend Cliff Patrick, one of our parish visitors, is facilitating a discussion group on some of these sermons. And if you want to be a part of that, you might check it out on Wednesday nights. Just come on Wednesday, and you're welcome to be a part of that. You know, as we planned for this series, we were hopeful that in a time when there seems to be so much that divides us, and so much that emphasizes our differences, this series might enable us to follow more the way of Christ. Our hope and prayer is that this year, as Trinity focuses on going deeper, that this series might help us begin that by thinking about going deeper in our relationships. Deeper in our love for one another through our differences and across barriers. So that's our hope and prayer for you all as we do this series. And one of the things that I believe is that getting to know one another, hearing each other's stories, learning a little bit about the footsteps that someone has walked in, begins a deeper love for one another. So this morning our scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, the 19th chapter. It's a story that many of you are familiar with, if for no other reason than you sang the song as a child. It's about a wee little man named Zacchaeus. And so today as we hear the story of Zacchaeus, I'm mindful, I talked to Steve last night, and he said that after the kids went to the Civil Rights Museum and then walked 2 miles in the cold to Ebenezer Baptist Church, where King was one of the preachers, when they walked in and sat down, there was a sermon being played over the loudspeaker in the voice, a sermon by Dr. King. And the sermon that was being that was over the loudspeakers was a sermon about Zacchaeus. So coincidental or not, I'm not sure, but that's what they were hearing as well. So I want to invite you to follow along with me as I read this scripture, as we hear the story of Zacchaeus. And I'm going to get Ellis his ball, because it rolled forward, and he wants it. So, it's a big day for you, Ellis, and so there's your ball. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay at your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one, the son of man, came to seek and save the lost. It's the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Let me invite you now to bow your heads and pray for me in sharing this message with you, as I pray for you that God will speak the word that you need to hear into your heart today. Let's pray. Meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Abraham Lincoln is attributed with very simple but eloquent words. I don't like that man. I must get to know him better. How many of us would think exactly the opposite? I don't like that man, and I want to spend as little time with him as possible. I don't like that man, and I want to stay as far away from him as possible. Zacchaeus was that man in his community. He was not liked. He was small in stature. I kind of picture him as a Danny DeVito type. Seriously. He was not liked because he was a tax collector. He was actually a ruler, the chief of tax collectors. So he was the chief of other tax collectors who were chiefs of other tax collectors and other tax collectors who collected taxes for the Roman government. And because there were all those many layers, there was quite a profit to be made. And so the tax collectors would pad their pockets on the backs of the hard-earned income of others. And so Zacchaeus was despised because he took advantage of others, and he was the chief tax collector. He was also despised because he was considered unclean. Now, he was considered unclean because tax collectors came in contact with not only Jews, but also Gentiles. And the Gentiles were considered vile and unclean. And so, because Zacchaeus had contact with them, he too was considered unclean. It might be similar to how someone with AIDS was treated 30 years ago, or someone who is African American was treated in the South in the 1950s, or may still be treated today. Zacchaeus was considered a sinner, and the community ostracized him. And then one day, Jesus is traveling through Jericho, and Zacchaeus has heard that he is passing through, and he really wants to see this man. And a crowd begins to gather along the road, and there he is, as short as Danny DeVito, not able to see over the crowd. And so he spots a tree down the road, and he thinks, I can climb that tree and be able to see this man who I have heard so much about. And so, as Jesus approaches, he lifts his robe and runs down the road and climbs this sycamore tree. Now, if he wasn't ostracized enough already, he would be subject to even more ridicule for running down the road. No grown man would run down a road in public. And no
one in their right mind would climb the tree. So he was ostracized even more because of the way that he behaved. But he climbs the tree, and there he has it. He has a sight like Jesus. And you know what? Oh, my goodness. Jesus sees him. Jesus sees him and looks up at the in the tree and immediately calls out to him and says, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, you come down. I must go to your house today. Zacchaeus comes down and is happy to welcome Jesus into his home. But almost as immediately as Zacchaeus comes down, the crowd begins to murmur. Because you see, they have branded Zacchaeus a sinner. Jesus says to him, today, salvation has come to your house because you too are a son of Abraham. Zacchaeus received salvation not because of anything that he has done, but because he is a child of God. You know, how often do we predetermine when someone is a sinner and we don't even know them? We already decide that we don't like this person or this type of person when we don't even know them. We join in with the crowd or even remain silent when we hear the murmuring, he's a rich tax collector. She's gay. He's Muslim. She's undocumented. He's from what would it mean for us to get to know someone without casting judgment? That was certainly the way of Jesus. He shared meals with people who were considered sinners. He hung out with people who were considered unclean. He even stayed overnight at the home of a tax collector. What would it look like for us to get to know someone without prejudging them? Years of social research have shown that personal contact with members of groups you are unfamiliar with is the most effective way to dispel prejudice. Most recently, a study by Stanford and Berkeley researchers demonstrated that as little as 10 minutes of non-confrontational encounter with a person from a different background has a lasting effect on breaking down bias. Less than 10 minutes. Let me show you an experiment that did just that. This video was shared with a clergy group that Steve and I were a part of that went to Northern Ireland last fall. And over the course of the past year, we have been working with that group about building bridges and resolving conflict and peacemaking. Now, just a disclaimer. This video is a commercial. It's a Heineken commercial. And in the course of just a few moments, it will cover a variety of hot-button topics. But I invite you to listen and to experience it. And I hope that it will help us to think about how to build bridges through our differences and across barriers. Take a look.
I would describe my political views as the new right.
I say that I'm left.
Thank you. today is man-hating.
I would describe myself as a feminist, 100%.
I don't believe that climate change exists. We're not taking enough action on climate change. I think it's about time these people got off the high horse and started looking for credible problems that actually exist.
It's absolutely critical that trans people have their own voice.
That's not right. You can't, you know, you're a man, be a man, or you're a female, be a female.
Women do need to remember that we need you to have our children.
Could I be friends with someone that says women's faces in the home?
Right, okay, well, I'm an expert at flat packs. If you have any trouble, just watch me.
So it looks like I've got your instructions here.
I think so. Let me help you.
Let's have just that bit there. Describe what it is like to be you in 5 adjectives.
Okay. Frustrating.
Dedicated.
Opinionated.
Lucky.
Ambitious.
Offensive.
Solemn. I have ups and downs.
Strong. I don't want to say attacked. Misunderstood. Name 3 things you and I have in common.
We're both male, we're both confident, and we're both loudly spoken.
We know each other better than people who've known each other for 10 minutes should.
You seem quite ambitious and positive, and you've got this really, got a glow. Okay, your aura's pretty cool.
I'm sensing, are you for military or something?
People have said that, but there is no,
really?
There is no history. So are you then?
Ex-military?
If you're ex-military, I'm very proud of you already.
Well,
I grew up in a bit of a rough state. I've experienced homelessness. I've known what it's like to have absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm definitely most grateful just for life.
We've only just met, but I think you're the sort of person that would listen to me and we'd have a discussion rather than argue.
Yeah, you could hang out with man. Let's go. My chance.
For the sake.
You're right, mate.
Fitter than a look.
Perfect.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
So basically, I thought we just bought a bar.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here you are. Each take a bottle and place it on its corresponding markings on the bar.
Attention. Please now stand to watch a short film.
Feminism today is definitely an excuse for misandry, man-hating.
If somebody said to me that climate change is destroying the world, then I'd say that is total piffle.
So transgender, it is very odd. We're not set up to understand or see things like that.
I am a daughter, a wife. I am transgender.
I feel like the battle for feminism definitely isn't done. The fight is never going to be over, if I'm honest with you.
You now have a choice. You may go, or you can stay and discuss your differences over a beer.
I'm only joking.
You're having it for a second then.
Well, I'm having a drink. I'm having a drink.
Yeah.
I want to discuss.
Beer.
Yeah, beer and discuss.
Cheers.
At the end of the day, mate.
About reaching out to people, yeah. And, you know, even if you wanted to convince people about your point, the productive thing to do would be to sit down and have a beer.
Engage.
I've been brought up in a way where everything's black and white. But life isn't black and white.
Yeah, I'm just me.
Yeah.
Smash the patriarchy.
I'll give you my mobile number, you give me yours, and we'll keep in touch. I'd have to tell my girlfriend that I'll be texting another girl. She might be a bit upset with that, but I'll have to get round to her.
I'll have to tell my girlfriend.
Getting to know one another is the first step in breaking down barriers and building relationships. And of one thing I am absolutely confident, that is that every single person in that video is exactly the kind of person with whom Jesus would be hanging out, who he would share a meal with, who he would make an effort to get to know, to whom he would extend love. first letter of John says this. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light. And in such a person there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates another believer is in the darkness, walks in darkness, and does not know the way to go, because the darkness has brought on the blindness. When I was in seminary, I did an internship at Trinity United Methodist Church in downtown Atlanta. I think I have this thing with Trinities. It was right across the street from the Capitol, and my role was to go every Thursday night and serve there for the entire evening. As I drove in from the suburbs of Atlanta on my first day serving there, I can tell you that I was a little bit anxious about serving in this soup kitchen and night shelter for homeless men. When I arrived and parked around the corner from the church, it was only 5:30 in the afternoon, and yet downtown Atlanta was already almost a ghost town. No cars or people anywhere. And as I turned the corner to approach the back door of this building that went down to the basement where I was to serve, there was a large group of men gathered around the door. All of them black men, all of them looking dirty and unkempt. And for me, as a 23-year-old female who looked only about 12, I can tell you that I was a bit intimidated and even frightened. They parted as I walked up to the door, and they didn't say a word to me, and I didn't say a word to them. And I knocked on the door, and a staff person came and let me in, but the men stayed outside because it wasn't quite time for the shelter to open. And I went inside, and they oriented me that I would be finishing preparations with them for dinner, that I would then serve all of these men as they came in and sat down at the table to eat, that I would get them seconds, and that I would fill and refill their drinks. And they came in, and I did that rather timidly and quietly that night. And then I learned that my role after dinner was to do the laundry. They would all go back to the showers, and they would reemerge in athletic shorts and t-shirts and hand me their dirty laundry to wash. So I spent the evening washing the laundry, but of course I sat in the room with all of them as they played cards and watched television and talked among themselves. That first night we didn't have a whole lot to say to one another. But over the course of that semester, I began to get to know them, and they began to get to know me. And by the end, it was typically those exact same 16 men. And by the end, I could tell you whose laundry was whose and personally deliver it to them. So we began to watch TV together and play cards together and share stories about our lives. And they began to treat me like a little sister. So by the end, I knew their names and knew who they were. And they the same about me. And two things remained constant over the course of that semester. One, every night I served them dinner and did their laundry. And two, at the end of each evening, When I left to walk out to my car in deserted downtown Atlanta, one of the men would walk with me to my car and open my door and put me in and make sure that I got in my car and drove off safely. At the end of the semester, my heart ached for these men. They had become my friends, and I had become theirs. And as we shared life in that setting together, the barriers had begun to be broken down, and bridges had begun to be built. So that's my challenge for you today. Don't make judgments when you haven't gotten to know someone. Don't cast aspersions when you haven't walked in someone else's shoes. Don't sit silently while others do so. Be careful not to make yourself judge and jury. Leave that to Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can decide who's righteous or who is not. Leave that to Jesus and follow his example. So first I would say to you, simply start by calling someone by name. Learn their name. Jesus didn't say to him, "Hey, you come down." He said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to be the guest in your house today." Second, share a meal with someone. When was the last time that you invited someone who was a different race or a different religion into your home to share a meal with you? I invite you to do that so that you can get to know them and they can get to know you. And finally, I would just say, guard your heart and your tongue. Pay attention to how you feel about others, and watch what you say about others. Or even be careful about remaining silent when others say something that betrays their bias or prejudice. We are all children of God, and we are called to love. So may God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give us the grace and the strength to love. Spirit, come. Our hearts control. Our spirits want to be made whole. Let inward love guide every deed. O God, by this we worship and are free.
Table. share a meal is an intimate place. And Jesus knew this. I think it's one of the reasons that he invites us to remember and come to his table as often as we are able. Because here, we come as we are, and Jesus knows our story, both sinner and child of God, woven into one. He invites us to come as we are so that he can take off our blinders and bring light into our darkness and to heal those places where we have been wounded and empower us through the gift of the Holy Spirit and this means of grace to be vessels that carry Christ's love out into the world. On our own, we are not able to manufacture the kind of love that Christ poured out for us. But this means of grace is meant to nourish us and to work in and through us so that we can indeed have the strength to love everyone we encounter and to begin to see the image of God and the face of Christ in every single human being. And so, Christ took the bread and he gave thanks to the Father, and he broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And Christ took the cup of redemption, and he gave thanks to the Father, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. God, pour out your Holy Spirit on each of us gathered here and on this gift of bread and juice, that it may be for us the body and blood of Jesus Christ, making us one together to be the body of Christ in the world, making us one with you and one with each other in ministry, not just here within the walls of our church, but ministry within every space that we inhabit. And may your means of grace not only linger in our mouths, but linger in our souls, renew us where we need renewal. Renew our thinking, open our eyes to see, and open our hearts to love with a greater capacity so that everyone is welcome to come and dine. Everyone is welcome to experience redemption and renewal. Help us have the strength to love like you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite those who are going to serve with us to go ahead and come forward. In the United Methodist Church, everyone is welcome at the Lord's table because it's Christ's table, which means you do not have to be a member of our church or any church to come and receive today. All that we ask you to do is simply respond to the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And as you come forward to receive, we'll ask you to cup your hands and we'll tear off a piece of bread and we'll hand it to you.
and then you can dip that into the cup and eat it. You are welcome to come and kneel and pray at the rails or to return by the right side of your section and to sing or to pray and listen. Christ welcomes us as we are and invites us to become more and more like Christ. Christ is offering a means of grace to us that will give us strength to love. So come and receive. And if you need gluten free, we have it. Just let us know. All is ready. Come.
Thank you.
I invite you to stand for the benediction. So as you go out this week, may God guard your heart and your tongue. May you go out with the strength to love across differences and across barriers. And may the love of God